Congress. I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm
yo. And welcome back to the Fit Sports Podcast. Just the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard, and also the funniest. Don't forget, the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the south, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly. I am him, he is me, Joseph Ward. Really doing my thing right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. where we got some of the greatest podcasting going on in the universe, the multiverse, however many verses you think we got, we still the realest and we still got some of the best content going out right here. Make sure you check us out. Once again, the website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. I ain't gonna waste too much time. Go ahead and get into it today. Remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips, the story of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora, all in one spot. All you got to do is visit their website at www.ontheshouldersone.com. They deliver that African history, those stories, through their On the Shoulders of Giants book series, the On the Shoulders of Giants blog, the On the Shoulders of Giants YouTube channel, the On the Shoulders of Giants African History Curriculum app, the nonprofit organization, the online course, which is available on Patreon at patreon.com/OTSOG, as well as face-to-face classes, educational sessions, keynote speaking engagements, you know, all that once this Rona died down, because, you know, the Corona's still out there. So make sure you visit the website once again at www.ontheshouldersone.com. You see, I got my On the Shoulders of Giants shirt on today, representing for the sponsors of the show, really going down in the South. So we got some stories today. We got a little drama today. We're doing a little drama today. Hold on, man. Let me go get my harmonica. Hold on. You see my blue paint? Go get my harmonica. Yeah, I'm back. Had to get my harmonica. So we got this drama going on. And I got to include my harmonica. Let me find my numbers. Okay, let me line up that. So, things we're talking about today, HBCU Spotlight. We got a Hampton University student athlete graduating with the highest GPA in the School of Science. So, we're going to talk about that young man. HBCU News, we have a Black-owned talent agency that's launching a new sports division to help HBCU athletes go to the next level. So they're trying to help HBCU athletes get to the pros. Remember, it's the month of May right here on the Freedom Train Network. So in the month of May, you know, we have our Black Women Celebration that we're doing all month long, every day of the week. So make sure you check us out, www.freedomtrainradio.com, to see who we celebrate each and every day and to learn more about the women we celebrated and to support these women. So HBCU, I mean, Black Women's Celebration, Swin Cash, and we're talking about her. She became the NBA's highest-ranking woman in basketball operations, so we're going to celebrate her on that. Then we're getting into episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance, what the who, what, where, when, why, and how. After that, getting to the drama, ex-NBA player Shannon Brown was arrested for firing a gun at people viewing home he was selling. I don't know what the hell's going on with Shannon Brown. Then remember, I did a couple stories about the Rick Pitino Louisville situation with the NCAA violations in the past. So more information come out, more news. Rick Pitino and Louisville giving an NCAA notice of allegation over the scandal that they had going on. Then, if you don't know, over the weekend we learned, past week we learned that Ravens safety Earl Thomas, his wife pulled a gun on him for allegedly cheating. So, gonna get into that. And then our weekly rant is going that goddamn Jason Whitlock, Jason Shitlock. LeBron James put out a tweet, you know, expressing himself about the Ahmaud Arbery shooting. And then Jason Whitlock, being a bitch, decided to respond. And it was a bitch-ass response. So, you know, I'd like to get that cliffhanger. As you know, we always got to start this thing off right with the HBCU spotlight. That include my home on that HBCU spotlight. Let me take a sip of water. So like I had been told you before you, so Hampton University student athlete graduating with the highest GPA in the School of Science. All right, so a native of Raleigh, North Carolina, Robert Gresham III, is graduating this month with a 3.93 GPA, the highest in the Hampton University School of Science, earning his ACS certified degree in biochemistry. Gresham is also a Division I lacrosse athlete at Hampton University. All right, so they say click the link for the full story. I don't want to read in no app. Okay, so Gresham will be heading to pharmacy school in North Carolina next year. He is receiving an academic and merit scholarship. He says his plan is to implement himself as a leader in the pharmacy class of 2024 cohort by running for class office. Throughout the year, I will continue to build a strong foundational network with hopes to land an internship at a pharmaceutical company during the summer of 2021, Gresham said. As a student at Hampton University, Gresham was a leader on campus and a member of the Freddie T. Davis Honors College. He has a peer-reviewed publication in preparation and has earned numerous scholarships, including the 2020 Big South Sunbelt Rental Scholarship. Athletics was an integral part of my academic success at Hampton University. Participating in Division I lacrosse helped me enforce and maintain a strict schedule for academics, athletics, and extracurricular activities. It was a great stress reliever and also a social outlet source, said Gresham. Gresham played 2 seasons for the Pirates in 2017 and 2018, seeing action in 11 games at defender and face-off specialist. As a sophomore, he was 13 of 27 on his face-offs. During the summer of 2028, Robert participated in the University of Virginia Summer Research Internship Program, where he worked at the Marty Mayo PhD lab to discover treatments for patients with lung I ain't even finna try to say that. Something wrong with their lungs, all right? He presented his research poster at an annual biochemical research conference for minority students in Indianapolis, Indiana, in November of 2019. Gresham has made lasting memories at Hampton University. I met seven strangers at Hampton University's honors visitation weekend as a senior in high school. Since coming to Hampton in August of 2016, those seven strangers have turned into brothers for a lifetime. We came in together, made memories together, and are still graduating together this spring as we move on to our next steps, Gresham said. So, my dog, what his name is, what his first name, Robert Gresham III. I want you all to put your hands together for the one and only, the magnificent Robert Gresham III. Give it up. Give it up for Robert. Give it up for Robert Gresham III.
Oh, Robert Gresham III.
One time for that boy named Robert. One time for Robert Gresham. He the king. Good side. Anything is said. He shut your holy mouth. Down Hampton. And he down with Lil Cross. And he's trying to get in. But you know Robert the boss. And that was our HBCU. HBCU spotlight and the Rockets red glare. Sight. All right, so HBCU news. A black-owned talent agency launches new sports division to help HBCU athletes get to the next level. All right. And put that down for a while. I done got home crazy. All right, so TLS, capital T, capital L, capital S, talent agency is pleased to announce its latest division, TLS Sports, the latest agency first launched. The talent agency, launched in 2010 by co-founders Cecilio Leek and Tristan Turner, both graduates of HBCU's HBCU. With clients such as Shark Tank's Damon John, Sway Calloway, Kid and Play, Farnsworth Bentley, Grammy Award winner Fantasia Barrano, Big Tigger Academy Award nominated director James Fargo, Fit Sports Podcast host Joseph Ward, and from Tyler Perry's If Loving You Was Wrong, actress April Parker Jones. Hey, man, he got a hell of a talent lineup. Joseph Ward on there, too, from the Fit Sports Podcast. Hey, he the richest on that list. I'm telling you. Multi-million, hundreds of millions of dollars, like close to a billion, Joseph Ward, close to a billion. All right, so the new division will operate independently from the rest of the company under the leadership of managing director Charles Stinson, graduate of Morehouse, and will focus on helping athletes that attend HBCUs get their shot at the next level at becoming a professional athlete. All right, now. Services will include representing professional athletes with negotiated contracts and endorsement deals. TLS Sports will also partner with the global branding and strategic marketing agency Creative Allies to provide multicultural marketing services that include branding strategy for its clients. We are excited about the launch of TLS Sports and looking forward to helping those who attend historically black college universities that aspire to make it to the next level but are overlooked. Our goal is to approach the business in a different way because the athletes can relate to us in a different way, says Cicero Leek, CEO of TLS. The launch of TLS Sports will also help those who attend HBCUs, provide them an opportunity to get into business, as well, helping further the next generation. Generation will arrive with TLS. Don't do it. Don't play the harmonica. Don't do it. Let me start. All right, so one time TLS Sports, man, they out here doing their thing, making sure black student athletes get to the next level because they need the representation to get to the next level. So y'all put your hands together, get a round of applause for TLS Sports. So one time for TLS Sports, I hope them boys, those gentlemen, go out and accomplish their goals. Especially because, you know, that's my management company. They represent me. So they help me rake in a whole lot of money. So since I'm rich, they rich. You know what I'm talking about? I had getting a multi-million dollar Joseph Ward. No, ladies, don't forget about me. You know what I'm talking about? I here doing my thing. You hear me? My head glistening. My head shining. My head shining like a mother right now. I got that balding. My head shining like a mother. Shining like a mother. Shit. Trying to make sure I ain't got the white, man. All right, so. Black Women Celebration, the month of May. Black Women Celebration, the month of May. Every May on the Freedom Train Network right here, we do a Black Women Celebration. Why? Because we love black women. Why? Because black women are the shit. My mama is black, and I don't have to explain it further than that. All right. So, like I said, every day of the week, we highlight, feature, celebrate a different black woman. And it's the 10th. Today, so this will be our 10th black woman. So by the time you hear this, it's going to be the 11th. So it'll be on your 11th black woman. So make sure you go to our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com, and you will see, you scroll down a little bit, you'll see a picture of something that say Black Women Celebration 2020. Click on that, get a list of all the black women we've celebrated so far and the ones who are being celebrated currently. And that way you get to join in, learn more about them, and then, you know, click on the information to go support those. Support those. Support those ladies. And remember that our Black Women Celebration is brought to you by Swag Herd Magazine. www.swagherd.net is the website, so go check them out. Swag Herd Magazine, bringing you the latest in black news, black stories, culture, stories about culture, stories about style, stories about fashion, stories about music. Artistry, everything in the black culture that's need to be talked about in a positive way. Swag Herd Magazine giving it to you, and a black woman owns that. So that's why we, one of the reasons why we're partnering with it. So shout out to Fancy, shout out to Jarmel, shout out to Aria, everybody over there on the Swag Herd team doing their thing. All right, so our Black Women Celebration, we are today on this episode celebrating Swing Cash. So Swing Cash becomes the NBA's highest ranking woman in basketball operations. So moments after Zion Williamson's exhilarating debut against the San Antonio Spurs on January 22nd, the back hallway of the Smoothie King Center is wall to wall with basketball types. Among the fours, the players all seem to make their way toward one person in particular with a fist bump or high five on their way to the locker room. New Orleans Pelicans Vice President of Basketball Operations and Team Development, Swin Cash! Cash was a multiple-time WNBA All-Star, a champion and Olympian following a historic career at the University of Connecticut. Yes, she was. And now she's the highest-ranking woman in NBA highest ranking woman in basketball operations in the NBA after joining the Pelicans last June. I'm over this bitch acting like I can't talk. Let me take a sip. How the potion hit the three-way motion. It isn't just the players who make their way toward cash. Nearly everyone who's anyone greets her warmly. Because her winding road through so many avenues in basketball has made her a familiar figure to so many, even before jumping from the television side to the executive side in the NBA. Her charisma is evident that her energy, even in the late evening of a long, much-anticipated night, was still present. It's a relationship business, she said many times. I don't fall out of the sky. Let me read that again. It didn't fall out of the sky. Hear me? And I'm definitely not some rah-rah happy-to-be-here type either. Hear me? She's certainly not the only woman making her mark in the NBA. Becky Hammond. Becky Hammond is a key figure on Greg Popovich's staff in San Antonio, the first woman to be on the bench. Jenny Bukek at Dallas. Karen Stack. Uma at Chicago, Chrissy Tolliver in Washington, Lindsey Gottlieb in Cleveland, Lindsey Harden in Sacramento, Nelly Ivory, talked about Nelly last week, Nelly in Memphis, and going on doing her thing. Nelly Ivory's the new coach and Notre Dame. So Brittany Donaldson in Toronto, Teresa Witherspoon, Teaspoon in New Orleans, and Natalie Nicasi at the Clippers are all in the coaching ranks. I think when I hear it, it's funny, Cash said, of her trailblazing status. I'm never really shy about a bunch of things, but it's a great accomplishment. I'm humble. It lets me know it's a lot of responsibility that comes with this as well. Cash, though, is in a boardroom where decisions are made at the executive level, which is a huge step in the professional sports. It's not lost on her that she's just a woman in this position, but a black woman. I'm reading this bitch like I'm ESC. What I'm getting sick of people saying diversity and inclusion when they think of us as women, Cash said. Let's take a step further. We have to be authentic and truthful because the conversation is getting away from where it started. Women of color count. From the players on the Pelicans, it layered. They see an executive, yes, but they see a mystical figure in sports in the basketball culture. When she won her first NCAA championship as a sophomore in 2000, Williamson wasn't even born yet. And then Nikhil Alexander Walker, Pelicans rookie guard, will come to me and tell me about some sneakerhead in Las Vegas having a pair of my Nike player exclusive shoes, she jokes. It lets me know I'm still relevant in the culture. So it's a long-ass article. I ain't gonna read the whole article, but Swin Cash got that position. She's the vice president of player operations and team development for the New Orleans Pelicans. That is Swin Cash. Look, I keep telling y'all, man, we got to make sure that we spend our time highlighting and celebrating black women who are out here doing their thing. So, y'all put y'all hands together for Swin Cash. And she out. And I say Swin, y'all say Cash. Swin. Swin. When I say Swin, y'all say Cash. Swin. Swin. When I say Swin, y'all say Cash. Swin. Swin. When I say Swin, y'all say Cash. There it is. One time for my lady, Swin Cash. Dun, dun, dun. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, I hit the button. I didn't do that. Stop. 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 I didn't mean to do that. All right, so as we move on like Maya did in that song, Episodes 5 and 6 of The Last Dance. It started out showing us the rise of the popularity and the fame of Michael Jordan. Sometimes I feel it cheers me. We got to see this, I would sing to be something like that. Dum, 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 dum. See, I grew. See, I grew like my. If I could be like my. Wanna be, wanna be, wanna be like my. Right? So, the Gatorade commercial, the like my. If I could be like my. You know, that was a big commercial back in the day. Gatorade commercial, the McDonald's endorsement. And of course, the Nike partnership, Spike Lee partnership. When Michael Jordan became Air Jordan, and then Air Jordan became a brand. And when them ones came out, them dunks, them Jordans come out, the game was over. The rise of the Jordan shoe, the Jordan brand, everything about that. That was a magical time in the world of sports and in the world of sports shoes, marketing, fashion, branding. Because for sports and branding and marketing athletes, Michael Jordan was the first real worldwide global superstar athlete because of the branding machine and the marketing machine that was put behind Michael Jordan. Nike, Gatorade, McDonald's, you know, making Space Jam, the NBA itself, all of the deals, Hanes, all of the deals that Michael Jordan had, and still some still have, made him a global superstar, like maybe the most popular person on the planet. I would say he was definitely. If he wasn't more popular than Michael Jackson, he was challenging Michael Jackson. Like Michael Jordan and Michael Jackson, from what I can remember, were like two of the most popular people on the planet. So Jordan had his breakout as a brand, as a name. And it kind of took us behind the scenes of how him becoming the brand Jordan took a toll on him mentally and physically. It was tiring. It was creating a persona about Michael Jordan, a persona of perfection that, for one, nobody should have to try to live up to, but they expected Michael Jordan to live up to some pristine expectation of who he is supposed to be based off of the image of Michael Jordan or the perception of Michael Jordan that was created through the branding. But in actuality, that wasn't who Jordan was. Jordan was an asshole. Let's just tell it how it is. Michael Jordan, as a person, is an asshole. But that's neither bad nor good. That just is what it is. But him being an asshole is what made him the GOAT. Or in contention for the GOAT, because you got this like Mike, you got this I want to be like Mike persona out here in the public. But then in the basketball realm, Michael Jordan was a stone cold killer, stone cold assassin. Michael Jordan is the dude on the movies. You know, you got some movies where the killer want to talk to somebody before they kill him and make a whole speech and monologue. Michael Jordan will come in there and snatch a throat out, not say nothing, just snatch a throat out and walk out, right? Because he's a killer. So it showed how the Bulls were, as Michael Jordan is ascending in popularity, the Bulls were inching closer and closer to beating the Pistons. But, excuse me, the final piece had to be put in place. And that final piece actually was Phil Jackson. An institution of, or instituting rather, the triangle offense. So Jerry Krause hired Tex Winter, a great basketball mind, great basketball person. Tex Winter was hired to be a part of the staff when Doug Collins was the coach. And Doug Collins had that he had a cartoon Jerry curl going on. It wasn't fly at all. And so the Tex Winter philosophy was a lot different from the Doug Collins philosophy, because the triangle offense involved the team. Doug Collins' offense involved getting the ball to the best player. Now, the drawback from getting the ball, it was pros and cons. Pros was Jordan can drop 62 when he wants to. Drawback was it's easier for the opposing teams to defend that because you know where the ball is going, rather than an offense where you need more than one threat, so you won't just key in on one person. And making Jordan thus making him more lethal, right? So it got to a point to where Doug Collins says he realized that Phil Jackson should be the coach of the team, and he was eventually fired by Jerry Krause, and Phil Jackson was hired, and the rest is history. Now, Jordan didn't like the triangle offense in the beginning because it took the ball out of his hand, and he had to adjust to the offense, and then he realized as they got closer and closer to beating the Pistons and closer to the NBA Finals, he realized, damn, this triangle offense is a real-ass offense. And it made Scottie more lethal. So that's when we seen the birth of the point forward position, what LeBron James is playing. Now, Scottie Pippen was the first point forward. Scottie Pippen playing point guard most of his life till he grew to 6'7". So he had those skills, point guard skill sets at small forward body, at a small forward position and height. So they utilized that. Yeah, Jordan wasn't bringing the ball up the court as much, but Jordan was able to be more lethal in his offense, and he had help. And that helped lift the Bulls over the hump to get to the finals. And, you know, when the Bulls got to the finals, could nobody stop them. It also covered Dennis Rodman and his escapades. How Phil Jackson and Dennis Rodman are similar, similar beings, similar mindsets. You know, man, those Bulls teams, man, that was a special time in basketball, I would say. We got to witness something that we'll probably never witness again as far as winning and an attitude of winning. Say what you want about Michael Jordan as a person, but as a winner, he wasn't going to be stopped. He wasn't going to be denied. Michael Jordan wanted it, and he wanted it bad. Now, he was a horrible dresser. His wardrobes was trash. But on the court, man, Jordan was a bad boy. And see, that's once again, though, that's why I don't see these LeBron things. Now the argument is LeBron's teams faced better competition than Jordan's teams in the playoffs and in the finals, and that's just not true. Jordan faced more Hall of Famers in the playoffs and in the finals than LeBron did. Now, you got to give it to those San Antonio teams. LeBron went to the finals a total of 9 times. Jordan went to the finals a total of 6 times. Got to give it to those San Antonio teams LeBron faced. Thank you, faced the Spurs 2 or 3 times. We know he faced the Spurs in 07. They got swept in the finals in 07. Then when he went 8 different times, I think they faced the Spurs like twice. So the Spurs team and those Warriors teams, especially the Warriors teams with Durant, I give it to those teams. Those teams were legendary teams. The Jazz teams, Jordan faced the Pistons, the Sonics, the Pacers. The Pacers teams that Jordan faced were better than the Pacers teams LeBron faced. Dallas shouldn't have beat them. Dallas Mavericks shouldn't have beat them. They did face a Thunder team. LeBron did face a Thunder team that was young, but they had Durant and Westbrook. So it's close. It's close. It's close, but I still think Jordan faced better competition going to the finals. And in the finals, we know for a while the West was definitely it was weak. The East was weak. And so it's so this episode is going up into we got 6 and 7 this weekend, where I'm guessing Jordan is going to retire, because we basically got to see the first three, the winning of the first three rings. How they beat Charles Barkley, them in the finals. Jordan was a bad boy, man. Think about how many Hall of Fame players did not win a ring because of Michael Jordan, especially when he started, man. Think about it. Michael Jordan was a killer, man. You got to tune in. You have to tune in to these episodes of The Last Dance. Now, I will say for the Jordan fans, watching these episodes of The Last Dance should not trigger any vitriol or any hate or disdain toward LeBron James. That's just stupid and ignorant towards me. Once again, the comparisons, I don't get them. They keep coming, but I don't get them. Jordan stands alone in his category. LeBron stands alone in his category. Number one, LeBron James is the greatest small forward. Michael Jordan's the greatest shooting guard. So they both would be, if I did an all-time starting five, once again, my all-time starting five would be Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, Duncan, and Kareem. So y'all have to watch it. Dennis Rodman, they talked about his Dennis Rodman's relationship with Carmen Electra. It's a good episode. It's a good series, man. It's a real good series. So just make sure y'all tune in. We saw Jordan grow up. We saw them. Oh yeah, and they talked about how Jordan and the team, after they lost to the Pistons that last time, how they didn't have a real off season. They went and hit the weights. They didn't go on vacation. They went and hit the weights, and they got bigger. They got bigger and stronger. And the next time they faced the Pistons, they were ready. They were bigger and stronger and more mentally fit, more mentally ready to face the Pistons. And they faced the Pistons, and they won. So that's what's cool about this is they realized that the Pistons came with the type of physicality that they didn't have. They were more finessed than the physical. They had to be more physical with the Pistons. And when they got more physical with the Pistons, everything came together, and they finally beat the Pistons. And when they got over the hump, and everything took off for Michael Jordan. Now, when he won that ring, everything went to a whole nother level. Michael Jordan became an icon, became a god. So, episodes 5 and 6, man, are The Last Dance. Gotta love it. All right, so let's move on. I'll tell you this one. This one ain't gonna be long today. This ain't gonna be a long show. That I had to make sure I get it in. Got a lot of jam packed things to do today's tight schedule. So, but I had to make sure I get this thing in. So. Rick Pitino, former coach of Louisville basketball, Boston Celtics, Kentucky. You know, he caught up in the NCAA scandal, some things that happened when he was at Louisville. So the University of Louisville has received a level 1 notice of violations from the NCAA for infractions that transpired under former coach Rick Pitino, who was given a level 2 notice. Pat Ford of Yahoo Sports originally reported the finding. The level 1 violation is considered the most serious by NCAA standards. It is unclear what the NCAA report will say, but it's likely the school will face a postseason ban based on official penalty guidelines. Okay. Louisville is considered a repeat offender, which will likely increase the school's punishment. Patino, who was recently hired as the head basketball coach at Iona, will likely be given a show cause penalty, face a suspension, and have limitations placed on his recruiting. The show cause penalty is given to ensure the punishment stays in place for any future jobs Patino may take. Patino was specifically cited for failing to promote an environment of compliance. Here is the release's description of the level one notice. Okay, so they're describing what he did. A level one allegation that an improper recruiting offer and subsequent extra benefits to the family of an enrolled student athlete and a recruiting inducement to a prospective student athlete's non-scholastic coach trainer were provided by certain individuals purportedly identified and defined by the NCAA as representatives of the university's athletics interests, none of whom had traditional connections to the university beyond their affiliation with Adidas or professional athlete management entities, as well as by a former assistant coach and a former associate head coach. That's right, because they was getting money from Adidas. They was funneling money from Adidas to student athletes and certain people in place at Louisville. Patino responded with a statement saying he firmly disagreed with the allegation. He says, "We are aware of the report. The NCAA has a process to address the allegations prior to hiring Coach Patino. We conduct the extensive due diligence. We support Coach Patino and expect him to respond within the process." So this is from Patino. Today, the NCAA released a NOA and allegations, a level two violation against me. I firmly disagree with this allegation and will follow the protocols in addressing this allegation through the administrative process. Due to NCAA bylaws on public disclosure on enforcement issues, I will have no further comment on this matter until it is resolved. That bitch know he guilty. He know he guilty. The NCAA's investigation centers on pay-for-play allegations that involve Louisville and Adidas executives, specifically in regard to former Cardinals player Brian Bowen, former assistant coach Kenan Johnson, is accused of paying Bowen's father $1,300 to secure his commitment. $1,300 to secure his commitment. And assistant Jordan Fair is accused of paying $900 to recruit another player. Man, hold on, dog. Y'all in this for $1,300. And $900 for that little baby ass money, man. As a recruit, I would be offended if you offered me $1,300 to come play at your school. Bitch, please. I'll wipe my ass with $1,300. $900 to recruit me? Man, if you're going to break some rules, man. I need at least $100,000, bro. So that's crazy. But so now Patino got the level two violation or the accusation the level two violation. So the NCAA, man, they own his ass. Patino, man, they own you, bro. What you gonna do? I don't know why I did that, but Patino, man, they got you. So, Patino has had rumblings and things that have followed him in the past. Time keep passing, and as time passes, new information keep coming up. Mm-hmm. He's going to be banned from playing ball, from coaching ball. Eventually, he's going to get banned for real, because shit keep coming out with him. So, Patino, man, you got to clean up your act, bro. You got to clean up your act, bro, because they going to get you. They going to get you. So, a level two violation. Patino get Louisville get a level one violation. So I remember some people were arrested and stuff in the past. So this is the latest update that we got on Rick Pitino and everything that he got going on. I love this picture they got of him. He looked like Al Pacino in one of them Scarface moments, or one of them Any Given Sunday moments. So he know he did it, man. He know they wildin', man. He know they messed up. They know they messed up, man. They know they messed up. That's the crazy thing about it. They know they messed up. But they ain't gonna come clean with it. They ain't gonna say nothing about it, but they know they messed up. They know they messed up. Yeah, man, but whatever, man. But I just want to bring y'all up to speed on what's going on with this Louisville thing and Rick Pitino, since we've been talking about it over the years. So there it is. So let's get to something even crazier. Shannon Brown. So former L.A. Lakers, Shannon Brown, former NBA player, he used to be married to Monica. And I was wondering how the hell that happened, right? So Shannon Brown is arrested for firing a gun at people viewing the home he was selling. What the hell is going on between the sheets in my home? All right, so former NBA player Shannon Brown was arrested last week after he allegedly fired a gun at two people viewing his for sale home. TMZ reports that Brown, who played alongside Kobe Bryant for the Lakers in 2009 and 2011, pulled a rifle on two people at his Georgia home on May 2nd. Shannon, what you doing, bro? Shannon, what you doing, man? A spokesperson for the Tyrone Police Department. This police department named Tyrone. I think you better call Tyrone. Somebody done broken my home. I think I better call Tyrone. But you can't use my phone. That's funny, Tyrone. So the Tyrone Police Department said that the alleged victims reported the incident around 9:45 p.m., claiming that Brown had fired rounds at them. Two people said that they were looking around for houses in the area when they noticed a for sale sign outside Brown's house. They entered through an open gate, and they claimed that when they reached the door, they were told to come in. When inside, Brown allegedly confronted them, ultimately agreeing to let them go after an unspecified amount of time. As they were leaving, they said that Brown fired at least 5 or 6 shots at them both. When police arrived at the scene, they discovered a shell casing in the area. Brown was arrested for aggravated assault. He bonded out of jail on May 4th. Brown first got his, I don't care about the whole letter. So, what? Come on, Shannon. Hold on, all right. So people drive, ride, swerve. Just driving, they see a for sale sign because they're looking for houses to buy. They see a for sale sign and they enter the premises. So you know, they make themselves known and say, hey, we here. And Brown say, come in. And when they come in, he gets stupid. So they say he holds them there for an unspecified amount of time. Then, as they're leaving, he shoots at them 5 or 6 times with a rifle. That sounds like drugs. Allegedly, it sounds like drugs to me. That's what that sounds like. That sounds like some drug behavior to me. Now, I'm not saying Shannon Brown is on drugs. But I am saying that sounds like some druggy-ass behavior to me. Regular sober or regular, like, weed-smoking people don't do that stuff. But that sounds like crazy-ass drug people behavior, because why would you invite the people inside of your home with the for sale sign, and then proceed to hold them in that space. And as you hold them in that space, well, after you hold them in that space, you release them from that space and then you shoot at them. So, Shannon Brown, what exactly were you trying to accomplish in this? That's what I want to know, Shannon Brown. What were you trying to accomplish in this? Because that sounds stupid to me. I'm not understanding your mission. I'm not understanding your vision statement. Why did you feel the need to shoot at these people? Were they in violation of you? Were you threatened? I mean, I want to know. Like, I want to know what the details are that led to first him holding them there. So what was said in the holding as they were inside and he was like, you are here. I shall never let you go. You shall not leave this house of Shannon that I'm selling because I'm crazy. What was going on? Like, and then you let them go, then you're going to get your shotgun or you're going to get a rifle. Or some other type of rifle. Pat, 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 pat. Right? Shoot at the people. Shoot at a couple. An unarmed couple. As we know. As far as we know. As far as we know, an unarmed couple who pose no threat. So that sounds like either mental issues or drugs. I mean, because did a voice inside of his head say, Shannon, shoot. Don't trust those people, Shannon. They're trying to take your house, Shannon. You cannot sell your house, Shannon. Even though you have a for sale sign outside of your house, Shannon. Like, I want to know. I really do want to know. I want to sit down with Shannon, man. Get the details of what's going on with this, bruh. What it is, bro? What led to this? What happened between you and your mental state to get you to the point to where you shooting a rifle at people that's coming to view your house? Unless you just didn't really want to sell the house, and some kind of you thought about the sentimental value or the sentimental connection that you had to the house, and then you like, no, you loped up and was like, no, I ain't selling this house. And blah, blah, let me get my gun, blah, 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 shoot, shoot, bullet, bullet, pew, pew, pew. Was that it, Shannon? Were you reminded about the good times? You thought about the first time you walked through the threshold of that house and you got emotional? I don't want, bruh. Like, this is crazy. It's definitely crazy. I don't know. Maybe you need to see somebody. Shannon Brown, you kind of been on. You've been doing some wild stuff over the last couple of years too. So, yeah. I don't know. This is wild. That's a crazy story. So that's Shannon Brown and his shooting escapades with the people who merely wanted to buy his house. I don't know. I know you might buy this house, but I'm going to shoot at you. Bang, bang, bang. Whatever, man. Whatever, man, whatever, man, whatever. Man, that's crazy as hell. Shannon Brown, man, Shannon Brown, what you going through, bruh? What you going through, bruh? So, I got an even crazier story. Earl Thomas was held at gunpoint by his wife. And I got some audio to go along with it. I got Earl Thomas speaking on it. So I'm going to play Earl Thomas read it, and then play it again. So let's play Earl first. Let's let Earl talk.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about this, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. You know, I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
So, some of y'all probably like, well, what's the story behind that? So let me read it to you. So, it's all spelled out in court documents obtained by TMZ Sports detailing a violent, and this happened in April. The incident happened in April, but we're just not finding out about it. A violent April 13th altercation involving the Baltimore Ravens player Nina Thomas, and, Baltimore Ravens player Earl Thomas, his wife Nina Thomas, and several other people. The Austin Police Report responded to a home in Austin, Texas at 3:41 a.m. after getting a call about a disturbance. The cops arrived. They say they observed that a black female wearing an orange sweater with a knife in her hand, later identified as Nina Thomas, was chasing a shirtless black male, later identified as Earl Thomas, with a pistol in his hand around the vehicle. Cops drew their weapons and ordered both Nina and Earl to the ground. And they complied without incident. That's when the investigation began and things got wild. Here's Nina's story according to court documents. Nina claims Earl left their home earlier in the day after an argument over the NFL players drinking. She claimed Earl's brother, Seth Thomas, picked him up. But a short time later, she decided to check on his whereabouts by logging into his Snapchat account. And that's when she says she found a video of Earl with another woman. Oh, no! So Nina says she used Earl's Snapchat account to track his location. Fellas, y'all listening? Get off of Snapchat, track his location to a nearby Airbnb rental home, and says she called up two other women to help her confront Earl at the pad. Nina also claims she grabbed Earl's pistol, a 9mm Beretta, in the process with the intention to scare him. So she grabbed a gun, which was said to be, had no clip but one round in the chamber, and she thought the gun was unloaded in the attempt to scare him. So when the women arrived at the house, they discovered Earl and Seth naked in bed with other women. So according to Nina, when she got to the house, Earl and Seth was in there busting out two other girls having an orgy in the room, right? That's when Nina admits she pulled out the gun and put it to Earl's head, stating that she took out the magazine thinking the gun could not fire. The cops say Nina was unaware that the gun had a round in the chamber, like I just said, right? Cops say one of the women in the house shot cell phone video of the incident, which they say shows Nina pointing the gun at Earl's head from less than a foot away, and it can clearly be seen that Nina's finger was on the trigger and the safety is disengaged. Damn, I want to see that video. The nosy in me want to see that video. Fortunately for Earl, cops say the Ravens defensive back was able to wrestle the gun away from her. Cops say the cell phone video also shows Nina striking Earl in the nose before it ends. Cops also spoke with Earl, who essentially corroborated the story, adding that Nina reportedly hit him while he attempted to take the firearm away. In an interview with Earl's alleged mistress at the scene, she claimed Nina also threatened her and the other woman in the house, pointing the gun at them and yelling, "I got something for all you hoes." The woman claims one of Nina's other friends was carrying a knife and swinging it aggressively during the altercation as well. After speaking with everyone, cops ultimately arrested Nina and both members of her posse. Nina was booked for burglary and other residents with intent to commit aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, family violence, and later bonded out. Earl was not arrested. Court records show Nina was also hit with an emergency protective order requiring her to stay 20 yards away from Earl and his alleged mistress. As we previously reported earlier, Nina were married in an extra, So when contacted by TMZ Sports, Nina's attorney, Jonathan Goins, told us, I'm here to declare that my client unequivocally and categorically denies these allegations, and we look forward to our day in court where we can clear her good name. Well, if they got it on film and they haven't seen the tape, what is there to deny? We also reached out to Earl Thomas for a comment before we published the story, and he released a statement on social media. And once again, here's that statement by Earl Thomas that he released before the TMZ story.
So my agent just hit me and said that I'm going to be on TMZ tomorrow from an altercation that happened with me and Nina. So just wanted to get ahead of it. And I mean, it's really not anybody's business. It's pissing me off that it got out, but it's the world we live in today. But instead of talking about this, just keep us in y'all prayers. And stuff like this happens, bro. You know, we try to live the best lives we possibly can, but sometimes it don't go as planned. Just pray for us, you know, as we go through this stuff. You know, we're back talking. You know, I'm seeing my kids. So just keep us in your prayers.
So, once again, that's the statement that Earl Thomas released to get ahead of the TMZ story that I just read. And I originally came by just scrolling and I saw a video about it. And so that's a crazy story. So Earl Thomas and his brother. So some of the details that wasn't in this article that I learned about from my research of it is Earl and Nina was in one room. And Nina was confronting Earl with the gun and the knife. And Seth, Earl's brother, in the other room getting confronted by another one of the women. So one of the two women that was part of Nina's quote-unquote posse was a woman that either Seth is currently with or used to be with. So she was confronting Seth while Nina was confronting Earl. And according to the TMZ story, they were butt naked in the bed having sex with these women or about to have sex or doing sex things with these women, allegedly, according to the story. And then they bust in, and so Earl left after an argument. She tracked them down through Snapchat, broke into the home, and went crazy. Wow. Talk about unhealthy. Talk about crazy. Talk about some shit that you're looking at like, y'all really doing this? Y'all really doing this? That's crazy. Like Earl Thomas could have died. Like that, she could have killed that man. She said she thought the gun couldn't fire because she took the clip out. Meaning she don't know shit about guns. She got a gun in her hand. And a lot of people could have died. Shit could have went wrong. We could have been sitting here talking about Earl Thomas being dead. That's crazy. Emotional instability at its finest. Boy, look at here. Hey, man, you got to be careful about what you're doing. Don't be out here cheating. If you're going to get married, don't be out here cheating, man. I ain't sitting here trying to be the voice of reason and morality. I'm just saying, man. You got to know who you with. And, man, look, man, y'all got to understand, man, like, put it out there. If you want to see other women from the beginning, say that. I don't know. I don't know the secret, but it can't keep ending up in stuff like this because this is wild. Like, Earl Thomas could have been killed. Nina could have been killed. Anybody else could have been killed. A family could have been affected way worse than what it is with this. Now all that business out, TMZ got a hold of the story, all the business out, and here we are talking about it. Like, come on, man. Y'all got to get it together. Now, that's not me judging or criticizing. I'm just saying that's a wild story. I don't like to see folk going through stuff like that, though. Just don't. Like, that's... this is stupid. It's stupid. It is. Earl, how about don't cheat? How about that? Nina, find a better way to handle your anger. Brother Seth, don't help him cheat. The fuck is you doing? Homegirls, that's part of the quote-unquote posse. When your homegirl call you up, be like, hey, let's run up on such and such. I'm going to get this gun and stuff. You be like, nah, I actually have a life that I'm trying not to mess up. So, you know, y'all. Like, it's a whole lot of things that could have been said or done differently in this. And here we are with Earl Thomas having to put out that statement to try to get ahead of what's going on. The story that TMZ gonna put out, because old girl Nina finna hit him with a Nina. She put out a line. Nina finna hit him with a Nina. So, that's ironic. I just thought about it. But Nina trying to hit Earl with the Nina. That's wild. Everybody could have done better, but, you know, everybody need to take responsibility for the action. Earl, what the hell is you doing, B? Got to do better, B. You got to do better. Seth, you got to do better, Nina. Posse, y'all got to do better. Hey, man, and so that's all I got to say about that. So that's what happened with Earl Thomas and his wife. So that shit crazy. That shit crazy, man. So it's, I ain't feeling it. Like, let me, it got to come from here. It got to come from here. So it's time. It's time for my weekly rant. That last note. So, bitch ass Jason Shitlock. This weekly rant is aimed at you this week, boy. Boy built like a chewed up wad of gum. He built like a pile of running shit. Built like a bunch of bullshit. If fuck nigga was a person, it would be Jason Whitlock. So, if you black, and you've been paying attention to what's going on in America, you know, everybody's outraged over the shooting and the killing and the hunting of Ahmaud Arbery, the young man who was jogging in his own neighborhood, and the crack-ass crackers tracked him down and killed him. George Zimmerman style, right? And so the whole nation was calling for those crackers to get arrested, charged on something. Crackers finally got arrested. What, Friday? So everybody expressing their outrage about the situation and everything's going on. So LeBron James, like he would normally do, tweeted out his feelings about it. And that's when shit went downhill, because Jason Whitlock, bitch ass, decided to insert his feelings and thoughts. And so that's why I decided to insert my motherfucking feelings and thoughts toward Jason Shitlock. So LeBron tweeted, we're literally hunted every day, every time we step foot outside the comfort of our own homes, which is fucking true. Look at the history of America. Can't even go for a damn jog, man. Like, what the fuck? LeBron did WTF, but I'm saying what the fuck. So, Man, are you kidding me? No, man, for real, are you kidding me? I'm sorry, Ahmad. Rest in paradise. And my prayers and blessings sent to the heavens above to your family. So that's all LeBron tweeted. That's all he tweeted. Tweeted the truth, though. Some real truthful shit. Right? So bitch-ass Jason Whitlock, oh, fuckboy-ass Jason Whitlock, I'll fight Jason Whitlock. I will. So Jason Whitlock, bitch-ass, he tweets, this isn't helpful. Like a little bitch giving him a bitch voice because he a bitch. This isn't helpful. It's Twitter trolling. It's using this man's tragedy to build a brand as a more outspoken than Michael Jordan. This motherfucker had the nerve to tweet that LeBron is doing this to help build a brand to be more outspoken than Michael Jordan. LeBron been doing this forever. Nobody think about fucking Michael Jordan. Nobody think about Michael Jordan. Matter of fact, don't bring Michael Jordan in this because this ain't got nothing to do with Michael Jordan. And nobody should throw stones at Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan ain't got nothing to do with this. This all got to do with Jason bitch-ass Whitlock, right? And said, there are all kinds of ways to draw attention to the tragedy, suggesting that we are hunted every day, every time it's just shit stirring. Shut your fat ass up, Jason Whitlock. If we wasn't hunted, we wouldn't be having this fucking story happening. We wouldn't be talking about this shit right now. Shut your fat coon ass up. White people don't like you, fat boy. Bitch boy. White people don't really like you. Why would white people like you when they see how you do your own people? You are disposable to them. You're expendable to them. They don't really like you. I can't wait, Jason Whitlock. I can't wait till you get your Negro wake-up call. Because you're going to really understand it's levels to this shit. You are a puppet. You are a puppy, a pet that's being used by the white folk at Fox to be this bitch boy that you are. But you're too arrogant and egotistical and your head too far up the white man's ass for you to realize how you're being used. But eventually you're going to get your Negro wake-up call. They're going to shit on you and kick you to the curb. And you're going to be looking for the black community to have your back. And all we're going to do is shoot birds at you and tell you to kiss our motherfucking asses, you sellout ass nigga. Because you are, Jason Whitlock, you are the quintessential definition of what a nigga is. You self-hating, self-serving, backwards walking, coon bitch. That you are. The Coon Chicken Inn was inspired by you. Every negative Negro stereotype was inspired by you, Jason Whitlock. Jason Whitlock, your father would have done better off nothing in the garbage can than nothing in your mother in creating you. You are the epitome of what fuckboy means, of what fuck nigga means. You are the epitome. You are the reason why pulling out should happen. Having a Jason Whitlock is worse than having an STD. We don't even know what medicines we got to cure the Jason Whitlock. Having a Jason Whitlock is worse than having an STD. Your parents should be ashamed to have pushed you out. Your mother should be ashamed to have to know that you fall out of her, you came out of her vagina, Jason Whitlock. Your mother should be ashamed. When you look in the mirror, you look in the empty eyes of a soulless nigga who goes above and beyond every day to be the biggest bitch that he could be for the white man. And in turn, the white man throw you crumbs off of his table to make you feel good about yourself. But oh, everybody knows about the bitch that you truly are, the inner bitch in you, Jason Whitlock. That inner bitch inside of you. That inner fuck nigga inside of you, Jason Whitlock. And I'm using fuck nigga because those are fighting words. Yes, fuck nigga is fighting words. Because Whitlock, you could have kept scrolling. But to suggest that He's trolling. He's lying. He's only, like, LeBron is only trying to build his brand as being more outspoken than Jordan. Those who, first of all, when it comes to Michael Jordan, those of us who've done our research, who've truly done our research, Michael Jordan is good with us. Those of us who truly done our research, Michael Jordan is good with us, right? Those of us who really know, right? Because there's levels to this shit, Whitlock. We know Mike, we know how Michael Jordan has contributed. We know how Michael Jordan has contributed, those of us who know. So Michael Jordan don't have to be outspoken. Michael Jordan is good. He don't have to be outspoken. Everybody play different positions. You would know that because your fat ass take up all the positions, Jason Whitlock. The mayonnaise is eking out of your pores, Jason Whitlock. Michael Jordan good. There are a lot of people who don't know about Michael Jordan and really know what he's done. Who shit on? I was one of those ignorant people one time who shit on Michael Jordan's name because I thought he was involved in private prisons and I thought he'd never speak out and all these things. But then when I learned more and I did my own research, I learned the positions and what Michael Jordan does. And Michael Jordan is good. Michael Jordan is good. But for you to use that to suggest, see, you out here reaching. You out here reaching. Jason Whitlock, you are basically you trying to use LeBron's name to brighten your star. You're clout chasing. You sack chasing. You dick riding. That's what you're doing. Straight dick riding. Because you a bitch. That's what you are. So if you LeBron James, you can't speak out about what's going on. You can't speak the truth, because if you do, then you trying to cement yourself as being better than Michael Jordan, right? See, Jason Whitlock can skip baits. Keep trying to use LeBron's name to further themselves. But the problem is, Skip Bayless is a dick rider. Jason Whitlock, a fuckboy. See, Jason Whitlock is going after LeBron's character as a man, which is, I see way worse than what Skip is doing. Skip just being a bitch. Jason Whitlock, a fuckboy. And Jason Whitlock is doing some classic coon shit. He's literally trying to make LeBron, he's trying to taint that man's name, taint that man's legacy in the name of white supremacy. That's what Jason Whitlock is doing. Jason Whitlock wants the white supremacy to look at him as an asset, as a hero, as somebody that they need in the white supremacist ways and shit. That's crazy. Jason Whitlock, you should be ashamed of yourself. But you're too whitewashed to even understand the level of shame you should have for yourself. Your parents should be ashamed to even claim you as their child. So with that being said, Jason Whitlock, by the order of the real ones in the black community, we hereby dismiss you, your black card, and your blackness from the black community. You are no longer a member of the black community. You are no longer considered black. You can go be white and never return. You are no longer black. You are no longer part of the black race. You're no longer a part of black culture, black anything. You love white people that much, go be with white people. Peace out. You are gone, Jason Whitlock. I just dismissed you from the black. From everything black, you are dismissed. From all the goodness of blackness, you are gone. Take your fat, cracker-loving ass on a cracker-loving side. Bitch ass fat boy. I just can't believe that shit. Well, I can believe it because it's Jason Whitlock, but god damn, dog. Like, god damn. Like, how far do you have to go to to try to make yourself or somebody. Like, you got to go that far to try to make yourself or somebody, you know. Like, that's how you know you trash. Jason Whitlock, that's how you know you trash, when you got to do all of that to try to be somebody, to try to get people to pay attention to you and listen to you. I'm trying to take this cat's character out. Jason Whitlock, everything about you is bitch made. You a hoe. You a fuck boy. You a fuck nigga. And yes, I said it. And you are no longer considered black. You've been traded. You've been cut, dismissed, excommunicated from the side of blackness. Peace out, man. Get your bitch ass out of here. Hey, man, that's my weekly rant, man. This is the Fix Sports Podcast. Y'all remember, man, Black Women Celebration Month. Go check us out, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Also, remember, you can support the Fix Sports Podcast on Patreon at patreon.com/fix. That way you can see the video and what's going on, because we do got video in effect. So holler at your homeboy. I am Joseph Ward. This is how we get it in, how we do it in, how we keep it in, how we stay it in, how everything going to be everything, how everything going to do what it do. Two fingers in the air like a real player. I'm up out of here. Ooh.
I called the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Nairclaw. There's no one that